Take your Bibles. Let's go to 2 Kings chapter 24. 2 Kings 24. 2 Kings 24. 2 Kings 24 and verse 17. There's one more little point I want to make about this that I didn't get to last week. 2 Kings 24, verse 17. And the king of Babylon made Mattaniah, his father's brother, king in his stead, and changed his name to Zedekiah. Zedekiah was 21 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 11 years in Jerusalem. And his mother's name was Hamutal, the daughter of Jeremiah of Libna. He did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord, according to all that Jehoiakim had done. For through the anger of the Lord it came to pass in Jerusalem and Judah, until he had cast them out from his presence, that Zedekiah rebelled against the king of Babylon. Okay, notice what he did. He rebelled against the king of Babylon, against Nebuchadnezzar, to his destruction. You know what the problem was? He had made an agreement with him, and he reneged on that thing, and he went back on it and rebelled against him. And God has said, no, you need to give yourself up to him. He didn't. And it was to his destruction. Go to Jeremiah 38. Jeremiah 38. Jeremiah 38. Jeremiah 38, verse 17. Jeremiah 38, 17. Then said Jeremiah unto Zedekiah, thus saith the Lord, the God of hosts, the God of Israel. If thou wilt assuredly go forth unto the king of Babylon's princes, then thy soul shall live, and this city shall not be burned with fire, and thou shalt live in thine house. But if thou wilt not go forth to the king of Babylon's princes, then shall this city be given into the hand of the Chaldeans, and they shall burn it with fire, and thou shalt not escape out of their hand. And Zedekiah the king said unto Jeremiah, I am afraid of the Jews that are fallen to the Chaldeans, lest they deliver me into their hand, and they mock me. But Jeremiah said, they shall not deliver thee. Obey, I beseech thee, the voice of the Lord which I speak unto thee, so it shall be well unto thee, and thy soul shall live. But if thou refuse to go forth, this is the word that the Lord hath showed me. And behold, all the women that are left in the king of Judah's house shall be brought forth to the king of Babylon's princes, and those women shall say, thy friends have set thee on and have prevailed against thee. Thy feet are sunk in the mire, and they are turned away back. So they shall bring out all thy wives and thy children to the Chaldeans, and thou shalt not escape out of their hand, but shalt be taken by the hand of the king of Babylon, and thou shalt cause this city to be burned with fire. God warns Zedekiah. He warned him by Jeremiah. He said, give yourself up. This thing's over. Give yourself up. Now, that's not a popular message to preach to a king, and it's not a popular message for a king to take, because you know there are people saying, we're going to fight to the end, we're going to take. But God said, it's done. Give up. Give up, and I'll let you live. Give up, and I won't burn this city with fire. I won't allow it to be burnt. Give up. And you know what he's afraid of? They're going to mock me. Brethren, there are people that will lose their soul, brethren. They will reject the Lord all because they're afraid of being made fun of. You don't think that there's been people that have been under Holy Ghost conviction? They know they need to be saved. You know what's held them back? What people will think of me. I can't handle it. I can't handle it if people make fun of me. I can't handle it if people mock me. I knew a young man. I knew a young man in the neighborhood over there who was on the Alexander Circle. I knew a young man. He told me about 30 years ago. He said, 20-something years ago. He said, I know. He knew what he needed to do. He knew. But you know what? He had watched others in the family come to know the Lord. And he's like, I can't handle that. What they'll say. I can't handle the being made fun of. I can't. That kind of thing was holding him back. Isn't that something? Because he didn't want people saying, oh, I've got religion now, huh? And because other family members had been mocked like that. And he was like, no, couldn't handle it. Look, here's Zedekiah. He afraid the Jews will mock him. And you know what? The very thing he was afraid of happening happened because he wouldn't obey the Lord. Go to Ezekiel 17. Ezekiel 17. Ezekiel 17. Verse 11. Ezekiel 17, verse 11. Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Say now to the rebellious house, Know ye not what these things mean? Tell them. Behold, the king of Babylon is come to Jerusalem, and hath taken the king thereof and the princes thereof, and led them with him to Babylon. And hath taken of the king's seed, and made a covenant with him, and hath taken an oath of him. He hath also taken the mighty of the land, that the kingdom might be base, that it might not lift itself up, but that by keeping of his covenant it might stand. But look what he did. But he rebelled against him in sending his ambassadors into Egypt, that they might give him horses and much people. Shall he prosper? Shall he escape that doeth such things? Or shall he break the covenant and be delivered? What happened was, he told the king of Babylon, he told Nebuchadnezzar, I'll submit to you. But after a while he goes, no. And he made a league with the king of Egypt saying, give me horses, give me people. And he broke his covenant with the king of Babylon. And the Lord said, you gave him your word. You told him you would do this. You went. And so the king of Babylon, I'm going to turn you into his hand. I'm going to give you into his hand. And watch what happens in verse number 16. As I live, saith the Lord God, surely in the place where the king dwelleth that made him king, whose oath he despised and whose covenant he brake, even with him in the midst of Babylon, he shall die. Neither shall Pharaoh with his mighty army and great company make for him in the war by casting up mounts and building forts to cut off many persons, seeing he despised the oath by breaking the covenant, when lo, he had given his hand and hath done all these things, he shall not escape. Therefore thus saith the Lord God, as I live, surely mine oath that he hath despised and my covenant that he hath broken, even it will I recompense upon his own head, and I will spread my net upon him, and he shall be taken in my snare, and I will bring him to Babylon, and will plead there and plead with him there for his trespass, that he hath trespassed against me. And all his fugitives with all his bands shall fall by the sword, and they that remain shall be scattered toward all winds, and ye shall know that I, the Lord, have spoken it. I brought this up because there in 2 Kings it says he rebelled against the king. He rebelled. He rebelled against the king of Babylon, and these things came upon him. Look at 2 Kings 25 now, and we'll see how it plays out. So Zedekiah had agreed with, made a covenant with the king of Babylon. Now he goes and tries to get troops from Egypt, and it's going to be his undoing. It's going to be his undoing. Chapter 25, verse 1, and it came to pass in the ninth year of his reign, in the tenth month, in the tenth day of the month, that Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came, he and all his host, against Jerusalem and pitched against it. And they built forts against it round about. So they laid siege. They surrounded it. They laid siege to Jerusalem. How did they do it? They built forts around Jerusalem. Now, why would they do that? Why would they build forts? Because this allowed them to conduct raids and reconnaissance from a secure base, and to keep supplies from coming to Jerusalem and messengers from going out. So they didn't just circle it with, you know, they didn't put all joint hands around it for a couple of years. No, what they did was they built forts. Forts that could be connected to one another to where they could conduct raiding parties against anybody that came out. They could perform reconnaissance and find out what's going on. No supplies could get in and no messengers could go out. So they built those forts. They're settling in for the long haul. All right. By building forts, Nebuchadnezzar showed that he was in it for however long it took. He's going to settle in, surround that thing, and he's in it for the long haul. He's in it for the duration. Well, you know something, brethren? As we are trying to bring down walls in people's lives that are lost and need the Lord, we need to settle in for the duration. It may take a while. As we are trying to bring down the walls of resistance of those that we want to see come to know the Lord, or just who oppose themselves, settle in for the duration. Seriously, it may take a while. And we may ask, why was this so important? Why go to all this trouble? Listen, brethren, kings naturally understood this for the most part. If any bit of rebellion is allowed to go unpunished, it will encourage rebellion with others. You understand? That's why you would often see kings going to huge efforts to crush rebellion. It's like, really? Is it worth it? Yes, it is worth it. Because listen, if one place holds out, word's going to get out. Hey, they held out and they gave up and they pulled away. Did you hear that? No, what happened? Nebuchadnezzar left. He just said, what's the use? You know what? If they held out, we can hold out. And the word was spread. So kings understood, you can't. They will expend. And see, here's the, and you got to understand something. That's what made kings angry at times. Have you ever noticed, look here, if Zedekiah had come out to him, God said, if you'll go out to the king of Babylon, you'll be spared. Now that was God working, no doubt. But you'll find that when someone laid siege to a place, when they finally broke in, the besieging armies do not play around. It always goes worse. Why? You put us to all this trouble. If you'd have gone ahead and surrendered, we'd have showed some mercy. We'd have, but you've cost us time, money, effort. You're done. And it usually, brethren, when a siege is broken, it ain't pretty. And you're going to find this with Nebuchadnezzar. Because they've got to squash that rebellion. If it's left to go on, it's going to encourage others. And brethren, that is a true principle, whether it be a home, church, business, or army. That's a true thing. Any bit of rebellion will just go on and it'll produce it in others. Okay. The only place that help could come to Jerusalem from would be up, not out. They got that place besieged. Ain't nobody going out, ain't nobody coming in. Only place they could get help from was up. Now, I don't think anybody had any airborne troops back then. I don't believe anybody was going to do a flyover and drop anything in, but there was God. There was God. But it's not an option. So what do you mean? It's not an option. They're in rebellion. They're in idolatry. They have turned their back on God. Nobody's repenting. Nobody's forsaking their idols. Nobody's saying God. Nobody. So the option, the one chance they've got is up, not out. And that's not even an option because of their attitude. Rather, that's a bad place to be in. That's a bad place because of their pride and rebellion. You know, sooner or later, a person comes to the place that they realize their only hope is in God. But then what will they do? That was the place that Israel got to. But you know what? They refused. Pride refused to let them yield. Go to Jeremiah 38. Jeremiah 38. Jeremiah chapter 38. Jeremiah 38 and verse number 1. You know, if you ever get discouraged, man, read the book of Jeremiah. That man, telling a message and a ministry that, you know what I'm saying, it was, bless his heart. Some of the messages he had to deliver to the king. Look at Jeremiah 38, verse 1. Then Shephatiah, the son of Mattan, and Gedaliah, the son of Pashur, and Jukal, the son of Shelemiah, and Pashur, the son of Malchiah, heard the words that Jeremiah had spoken unto all the people, saying, thus saith the Lord, he that remaineth in this city shall die by the sword, by the famine, and by the pestilence, which means disease. But he that goeth forth to the Chaldeans shall live. He shall have his life for a prey and shall live. Thus saith the Lord, this city shall surely be given into the hand of the king of Babylon's army, which shall take it. And that was the message Jeremiah had to give to the king and to the leaders. Verse 4, therefore the princes said unto the king, we beseech thee, let this man be put to death. For thus he weakeneth the hands of the men of war that remain in this city, and the hands of all the people, in speaking such words unto them. For this man seeketh not the welfare of this people, but the hurt. In most cases, they were right. Jeremiah's words are words of defeatism. Jeremiah's words are words of surrender and giving up. Jeremiah's words are not the words to encourage to fight. There was no, but this is beyond fight. God has done decree, it's over. It's over. And so this man has a message to the whole nation of give up and go surrender because you're going to die otherwise. Yes, it did weaken the hands of the people. It did. They were right. And in normal circumstances, these men are right. That man, he's so negative. He's defeatist. He's discouraging everybody. And they're right. But that's because that is the message from God. It is over. And can you imagine being tasked with that kind of message? And they hate him for it. They want to kill him. Verse 5, then Zedekiah the king said, behold, he is in your hand, for the king is not he that can do anything against you. It was so bad that Zedekiah could not even really rule anymore. The princes and the others, they had the real force. And Zedekiah just said, take him, whatever, right? Then took they Jeremiah and cast him into the dungeon of Malchiah, the son of Hamelech, that was in the court of the prison. And they let down Jeremiah with cords. And in the dungeon there was no water but mire. So Jeremiah sunk in the mire. And you can imagine what that was in, that was like. It was probably, just mire. So it was muddy, muck, possibly sewage kind of thing. And he sunk in it. That's where he's at. And he's been faithful. He's been faithful, but this is allowed to happen. Look at verse 7. Now when Ebed-Melech, the Ethiopian, one of the eunuchs which was in the king's house, heard that they had put Jeremiah in the dungeon, the king then sitting at the gate of Benjamin, Ebed-Melech went forth out of the king's house and spake to the king, saying, my lord the king, these men have done evil in all that they have done to Jeremiah the prophet, whom they have cast into the dungeon. And he is like to die for hunger in the place where he is, for there is no more bread in the city. Then the king commanded Ebed-Melech the Ethiopian, saying, take from hence 30 men with thee, and take up Jeremiah the prophet out of the dungeon before he die. So Ebed-Melech took the men with him and went into the house of the king under the treasury, and took thence old cast clouts and old rotten rags, and let them down by cords into the dungeon by Jeremiah. And Ebed-Melech, look who's coming to his aid. It's not an Israelite. It's not a son of one of the tribes of Israel. It's a black Ethiopian, a black man, Ethiopian, who realizes where the true God is and what right is. And he's the one having mercy here on Jeremiah. He said, put now these old cast clouts and rotten rags under thine iron holes, under the cords. And Jeremiah did so. So they drew up Jeremiah with cords and took him out of the dungeon. And Jeremiah remained in the court of the prison. Then Zedekiah the king sent and took Jeremiah the prophet unto him into the third entry that is in the house of the Lord. And the king said unto Jeremiah, I will ask thee a thing, hide nothing from me. Then Jeremiah said unto Zedekiah, if I declare it unto thee, wilt thou not surely put me to death? And if I give thee counsel, wilt thou not hearken unto me? And you can understand. Jeremiah's like, if I tell you the truth, you'll kill me. And you're not going to listen anyway. So Zedekiah the king swears secretly unto Jeremiah, saying, as the Lord liveth that made us this soul, I will not put thee to death, neither will I give thee into the hand of these men that seek thy life. Then said Jeremiah unto Zedekiah, thus saith the Lord, the God of hosts, the God of Israel, if thou wilt assuredly go forth unto the king of Babylon's princes, then thy soul shall live, and this city shall not be burned with fire, and thou shalt live in thine house. But if thou wilt not go forth to the king of Babylon's princes, then shall this city be given into the hand of the Chaldeans, and they shall burn it with fire, and thou shalt not escape out of their hand. And Zedekiah the king said unto Jeremiah, I am afraid of the Jews that are fallen to the Chaldeans, lest they deliver me into their hand, and they mock me. But Jeremiah said, they shall not deliver thee. Obey, I beseech thee, the voice of the Lord, which I speak unto thee. So shall it be well unto thee, and thy soul shall live. But if thou refuse to go forth, this is the word which the Lord has showed me. And behold, now let me read it again. I read it a while ago. But, and behold, all the women that are left in the king of Judah's house shall be brought forth to the king of Babylon's princes. And those women shall say, thy friends have set thee on and prevailed against thee. Thy feet are sunk in the mire, and they are turned away back. So they shall bring out all thy wives and thy children to the Chaldeans, and thou shalt not escape out of their hand, but shall be taken by the hand of the king of Babylon, and thou shalt cause this city to be burned with fire. Then said Zedekiah unto Jeremiah, let no man know of these words, and thou shalt not die. But if the princes hear that I have talked with thee, and they come unto thee and say unto thee, declare unto us now what thou hast said unto the king, hide it not from us, and we will not put thee to death. Also what the king said unto thee, then thou shalt say unto them, I presented my supplication before the king that he would not cause me to return to Jonathan's house to die there. Then came all the princes unto Jeremiah and asked them, and he told them according to all these words that the king commanded. So they left off speaking with him, for the matter was not perceived. So Jeremiah abode in the court of the prison until the day that Jerusalem was taken, and he was there when Jerusalem was taken. Chapter 39, verse 1, in the ninth year of Zedekiah, king of Judah, in the tenth month, came Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, and all his army against Jerusalem, and they besieged it. And so I brought that up, brethren, to give you again the full background of why that siege was going on. You know, sooner or later, again, a person comes to the place that they realize their only hope is in God. That's where Zedekiah was at. And he heard what he needed to do. And he wouldn't do it. Brethren, it's a picture of when someone hears the gospel and they realize what they need to do. They need to repent and come to God through Jesus Christ. But you know what they start weighing out? But what about this? And what about, man, I got a good thing going here. People will make fun of me. I might lose, and they start weighing it out. And they don't do what they've been told to do. What do? Not a thing in the world you can do. Other than pray that they'd be willing to yield and submit. But after somebody's been given the message from God about what they need to do, it's up to the individual. You know something? Don't wait till it's too late. Whether somebody will be listening to this on recording or here, don't wait till it's too late. When you know what you need to do, you've got the message from God and His Word, don't wait till it's too late. That's what happens to Zedekiah. He waits till it's too late. Look at 2 Kings 25, verse 2. It says, and the city was besieged under the 11th year of King Zedekiah. Now look when it started. Verse 1, in the 9th year of his reign, in the 10th month. So it was besieged under the 11th year, almost 2 years. Man, they besieged that place almost 2 years. Let me say something. The enemy may lay siege to you, waiting, just looking for an opening. You know what the devil said about Job? You made a hedge about him. You made a hedge about him. Well, the devil, no doubt, went about that hedge, looking for an opening. He couldn't find it. Why? Job didn't break that hedge. Whoso breaketh an hedge, a serpent shall bite him. Do you realize that in Job's life, there was a serpent? That little serpent, the dragon, the devil. He was outside of that hedge, waiting. You know what he was waiting on? For Job to break through. And a serpent, he would have got him. The devil walketh up as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking what? Whom he may devour. Stay in the hedge of the will of God. But in Job's case, what happened? God lifted the hedge and let the devil in. That's okay when God does it. When God has a purpose for lifting the hedge, okay, you just don't break it yourself. You just don't break it yourself, all right? The enemy will besiege you. The enemy had besieged Job. You put a hedge about him. The devil told the Lord, you put a hedge about him and all that he's got. And God had hedged him in. Listen, brethren, the enemy may be laying long siege to you. Just waiting for you to get weak, weary, and say, I'm done. I've had it. You know what? I'm just going to have a little bit of what I want. Whatever. I'm tired. I'm done. Brethren, I know men it's happened to. And so what happens is so often. Brethren, I know men that have just said, whatever. Whatever. I'm going to go to the movie, get me a beer. And, you know, I'm talking about men who stood for God, preached the Word of God, Lord did things in their lives, principals in Christian schools. You know what they said? I'm done. Because you know what? They had a certain mindset that they thought things would be for them, and it didn't fall out that way. And they felt like, wait a minute, I've done this and this for God, and He ain't letting things fall out the way I thought. And they say, you know what? I'm done. I'll get me some beer. I'm going to go watch some movies that I know I shouldn't watch. And I'm just going to take, and it spirals, and it spirals, and it spirals. Why? The devil's waiting them out. And waiting for that time, just like, you know what? Forget it. Why not? Why not just go and, well, you know what? They realize why not. And one of the individuals I'm talking about told me, preacher, use my life for an example anytime you need to use it. Tell others. Warn them. Tell them. Because you know what? It didn't work out. Listen, it didn't work out the way they thought it was going to work out in service. And what they thought by going back was going to work out didn't work out good neither. Brethren, be careful. Be ever so careful. The enemy's going to wait you out. Just looking for that thing, that time you're like, you know what? Forget it. Forget it. Brethren, do we realize that when we do that, what we're saying to the Lord? Brethren, well, often we look at people and say, you know what? I'll show them. Forget them. I'll show them. Hey, everybody thinks I'm Mr. this or that. Oh, I'll show them what bad really is. They think I got a rebellious attitude. Or they think I'm this and that. Boy, I'll show them then. Brethren, listen. You are looking at man and you're not looking at God. You're going to do that to God? You're going to do that to God? The precious Lord Jesus? Who never has done anything wrong or done nothing wrong to you? Don't you understand? It's like, whoa, whoa, whoa. And you look at men and say, you know what? It's like throwing an obscene gesture to brethren or to others and say, take that. You ain't seen nothing yet. Whoa, whoa, whoa. You're doing that to God. To God. And he's never done anything wrong. Nahum, go to the book of Nahum, chapter 3. I'll show them. I'll hair lip them. Yeah, buddy. I'll put the hair lip on them. I'll show them. You know, I get them going, what in the world? What? You know, no, you're not. You get your own self. Brethren, you know something? Keep getting our eyes on man and not on God has different aspects to it. Amen. We often think of keeping our eyes on the Lord to keep doing right. But a lot of times, brethren, people do wrong because they're looking at men and saying, you know what? I'm going to show them. I'm going to show them. He's going to be in your face. Think I'm this, think I'm that. Watch this. So the Lord's worthy of that, huh? So you're going to do the Lord like that. Man, y'all. Brethren, keep our eyes on Jesus Christ. Jesus, precious Jesus Christ. The one that's supposed to be precious to us. The one that's never done anything wrong to us. That's for us. The gracious and precious Lord. Nahum 3, verse 14. Draw thee waters for the siege, fortify thy strongholds, go into clay and tread the mortar, make strong the brick kiln. Listen, we need to make preparation to resist. Because the enemy's going to besiege us. He's going to lay wait. You know what you need to do? Make preparation to resist. In other words, understand he's going to do it. So get ready for it. Look what it says there in Nahum. Draw thee waters for the siege. What do you mean draw waters for the siege? Well, if you know a siege is coming, what are you not going to have access to? Water. So you start getting it before. That's why Hezekiah diverted the waters to bring them into the city. So the enemy don't get it, and they could. You realize, I got to have water. I got to make provisions. So you start drawing waters for the siege. What else do you do? It says, fortify thy strongholds. Make the places that are strong even stronger. All right? Go into clay and tread the mortar. Make strong the brick kiln. In other words, get those things ready to build it up. Make it strong because you know it's going to come. And brethren, the enemy's going to try to do this to us. So we need to store up provision, repair any breaches, make strong places stronger. Don't take any matter lightly. Don't take any matter lightly. I will say this and we'll stop. Go to Nahum 2, verse 1. He that dasheth in pieces is come up before thy face. Keep the munition. Watch the way. Make thy loins strong. Fortify thy power mightily. Brethren, don't take any matter lightly. Let me give you a couple examples and we'll be done. There was a battle in Quebec back in the early 1700s. And there were two guys involved in it. One of them was named Wolfe, General Wolfe, for the English, and the other was General Montcalm for the French. And General Montcalm had a very strong position on the heights and plains of Abraham, they called it, up in Quebec. And he had a very strong position. There was one place up a mountain, that you could get there. But they were like, there's no way. You cannot bring troops up that thing. It's too rough. It's too rugged. There's no way. There's no way that Wolfe would try to even do that. So they just lightly defended it. Well, guess what? That's the one that Wolfe went up and took it. And brethren, that battle was tremendous because that battle had repercussions even concerning this country later. It was a huge battle. Huge battle. It had great import. All right? And you know what that thing hinged on right there? A place that like, no, we don't need to worry about that. There's no way. Oh yeah, there was a way. And Wolfe did it. And then there was the French and the Ardennes Forest in World War II. They knew Germany was building up. They watched it going on. And they were prepared. They had the Maginot Line. And they was like, that's our line, buddy. Germany can't break that thing. They can't break that thing. They did realize that through the Ardennes Forest, the Germans could come around. But they were like, there's no way. You can't bring tanks in the Ardennes. That forest and that ground, there's no way. They will not do that. So they lightly defended it. They didn't take it serious. Guess where they came? Through the Ardennes. Brethren, I'm just telling you, you can't take... And when they did that, they steamrolled and they took France in no time. You can't take anything lightly. You can't take and say, you know, that's... No. You're talking about an enemy that will take any advantage, any opening he can get. So when the Lord warns us and tells us, hey, watch right here, don't take it lightly. Don't think that, it's okay. No, it's not okay. Take it serious. Watch that thing. Every place. Because he'll take advantage of anything that he can. Father, I give you a word. Lord, help us understand these things. They are written for our admonition. Help us to receive it. And teach us, dear God, where and how it needs to be applied to our individual lives. Father, we thank you and we ask this in the Lord Jesus' name. Amen.